Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to another prologue episode of A Novel Beginning, where we share an author's reality. I am your host, C.R. Rice, and my co-host is the incredible Danielle M. Orsino. And today we are going to be talking about why we chose the genres that we have somehow trapped ourselves within. So, Danny, why did you choose fantasy?
Sierra, you keep hitting me with these questions, and I'd love to give you these deep answers. I do not have them. Fantasy, I guess, kind of chose me in a way. I didn't even know there were so many subcategories to fantasy, like there's high fantasy, epic fantasy, there's lower fantasy now, urban. I didn't know that I was in fantasy when I wrote Birth of the Fae. I just fell into it. Is that a good answer? I can't even tell you. It just happened. I guess once you throw dragons in anything, you're fantasy. That's just how it goes.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I didn't know. And I didn't know I was going to add dragons. You know, the pups kind of made that happen with their little personalities and putting them in. But I can't say that I went out consciously to do fantasy. That wasn't it. I read a lot of Anne Rice and, Kim Harrison and all that. So I was probably more urban fantasy and paranormal romance even. I didn't know I was going to find myself thrown into the Mists of Avalon and Lord of the Rings and like Game of Thrones category. If I could have avoided, if somebody told me ahead of time, like, this is where you're going to be, I probably would have been like, hell no, I'm not doing that. But I didn't know. How did you wind up with yours?
I think mine was purposeful, I guess. I wrote as a teenager because I wanted to escape daily life. Well, you can't do that if you are writing about daily life. So I tried to go as far-fetched as I could from my normal life. And what other way is there than to do the magic in the alternative world and the inter-parallel universe traveling? And so I purposely chose mine because I wanted to be able to escape completely from what is going on right now. But I got to say, dragons are absolutely fantasy. I don't know how you missed yourself on that one. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is definitely something that is super fun to think about when you're writing. And I didn't purposely do the dystopian side of it, though. I was just trying to go so far. I didn't even realize that's what it was. I just assumed because I was writing, in with magic and fantastical things and these elemental abilities, I just assumed that was fantasy. Then when it went into the War of the Realms and all of that, and when, I was talking to the publisher, they're like, we love the dystopian angle. And I was like, what the heck is that? Like, what are you talking about? And so that was kind of a surprise for me. I was like, oh, yes, I am a dystopian author. I totally did that on purpose.
Of course, yeah. But I think totally meant it. Yeah,
that was my plan all along. That was, they definitely caught on. I thought I was being more secretive. But I agree. I think the genre kind of chooses you because, I mean, we work with a lot of authors. And how many of them do we talk to where we're like, why do you write this genre? And they're like, well, because I really enjoy romance or I really enjoy the horror scheme. And then when we ask them, are you interested in writing another genre? And they're like, oh, no, I can't get into that mindset. So I don't know if you can necessarily choose your genre.
That's an interesting take. That's an interesting take if you can necessarily choose your genre. Because in your case, you're able to jump. And you've talked about that in the series. You have no problem saying, well, my next, the next realm is going to be this. The next realm is going to be that. You have no problem doing that, which I find very interesting. And I think that's a skill upon itself. To where, like you said, when we've talked to other authors, they're like, oh, no, I only do romance or I do this. And I have to be inspired to do the next one. When I got in, like I said, I had no idea what I was doing. I often make the joke, if you want to know how not to write a book, come talk to me. If you want to know how to do everything wrong, come speak with me and I'll lay it all out. When I've talked about doing volume 2, I definitely go urban fantasy, which I didn't understand all these different genre takes. And I still don't totally get it. As I've written volume two, I'm like, is it urban fantasy? Is it paranormal romance? I don't know. Maybe it's a mix of both. I think people kind of start out to write a book like fill in the blank. And I think that's where they sometimes get caught up, because they want to write something like another author or like their favorite author. And I think that's somewhere where it kind of goes a little wonky. You just wanted to write an escape, and I've wanted to write escapes as well. I think that's kind of an interesting dichotomy on the whole authorship, is that everybody kind of wants to be like something else, and it gets a little, it kind of goes off path and off track sometimes. But you have no problem jumping genres. I know you've got a realm that's kind of noir. I would never have thought to write noir at all. I think if somebody was like, hey, do you want to write noir? I'd look at them and be like, you mean I got to write everything in black and white? Like, you know, like everything is going to be like that? Like, what do you mean write noir? I would look at them and be like, is everybody going to wear a trench coat? How are we going to do that? It wouldn't even,
right,
you know, some of these genre types I don't even think about.
So I do it weird, because like I understand when other authors are like, you know, I want to write the next Anne Rice, or I want to be the next J.K. Rowling or Stephen King. I find that those authors, which there's nothing wrong with that, I find that those authors tend to skew their books to be almost the exact same story. And so I base mine off of movies. And I'm really big into, you know, Danny, as you know, I love anime and I love manga and all of those. So when I do my fight scenes and I do my different types of writing, I think of how it is there. And I didn't even know that Enigma was going to be noir. They asked me what I wanted to, like, what it was based off of. And I just told them I want to write it like Sin City. And they're like, oh, okay, so you're doing a noir. And I was like, and what is a noir? And they had told me that is the old school detective movies with the eerie music and the only the red lipstick and the cranky detective. And I'm like, well, that's kind of Orion. I can see where you would get that. But I was just in my mind thinking, how cool would it be to write a spin of Sin City and have it set with trolls and goblins and monsters and this one guy just trying to keep it all together. And so that's the direction I took, and I didn't even know what noir was, which, again, I do the same thing as you. Like, I am the worst author. I don't know 90% of these genres. I just write what the characters want me to write.
That's a good point right there, writing what the characters want you to write. So do you agree that we are more of the custodians of the characters? Like, it just kind of flows through us, and then we just tell their story, versus us telling the characters what they're going to do?
Oh, absolutely. If I try to, well, I know there's that, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, when everybody's like, if you want to be an author, you have to write every day, turn it into a job. I can't physically do that. If I force a story, it goes so sideways, and it is the most miserable time in the world. But if I give myself a moment to step back and be like, look, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where this is trying to go, and step away from it completely and work on something else, or I go and do something else in my house or go somewhere, then it comes back and I feel like the story is more pronounced and it flows better and it's so much easier to write, which is why I was able to write so many books so quickly, is because I wasn't forcing it and I didn't have that mentality of I got to get up at 9 a.m. I got to write from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. because this is a job. I enjoy writing. I didn't want to turn it into something that made me miserable.
Yes, I completely agree. I can't sit there and say, I'm going to write from 9 to 5. And this is what I'm going to do today, and here's my outline. I mean, God bless anybody who can do that. If you can do that, I guess the plotters can do that. Awesome. That's great. I can't do that. It doesn't work for me. It's almost like I'm forcing the characters. And going back to what you said about basing it on movies, I can agree with that to a point, because I did – when I originally wrote the first draft of Locked Out of Heaven, I thought about the show Heroes all the time, the first season. After that, the show got really weird. By season three, I don't know what's happening on that show. I don't know. Yeah. But the first season, Save the Cheerleader, Save the World, was, like, amazing, because every time that show ended, I would look around and go, oh, my God, what the hell is happening on the show? I love it, because I couldn't wait for the next episode. It would tie up just enough what was happening in whatever happened in the episode before. It was like just enough that you were like, okay, I totally get what's going on, And then that last 2 minutes would happen and you would go, oh my God, what the hell? And I loved it. And I thought, I want every chapter of Locked Out of Heaven to end that way. I want the reader to go, what the hell is happening in this book? I can't wait to read the next chapter. That's how I felt things should end. Like, kind of based it in a way off of that. So I get what you're saying about movies. Like, and that's how I would go to bed. I would replay every chapter in my head and think, if that chapter or that scene doesn't end with me being like, what's going to happen next? The reader's going to be totally bored. And if that happened, I would rewrite it and rewrite that scene. And that's how I did it. Yeah. Once again, I have no idea if that's correct. I had no idea. I was just like, oh, no, I thought everybody wrote this way. Then I
is there really a right or wrong way? Is there a right or wrong way to write, though? If it works, I mean, clearly it works. You have seven out. So clearly it works. So, but yes, I get that, where you sit down and especially when you do interviews and stuff and they're like, oh, please explain your writing process. I always blank and I just think to myself that they are going to think I am insane, that this is completely backwards. Yes. This is not how you're supposed to do it. But that's exactly what I do too, is I go through and I don't have any of the fighting experience, obviously, that you do to be able to act those things out. But one of my favorite things, and one of I love action movies. And again, I love anime. And some of the coolest fight scenes are in anime because they can do so many crazy things. So when I go to write a fight scene, I rewatch Bleach, or I go through and because they're using swords just like they are in my world. So I find something that is close and think to myself, okay, this doesn't make sense, obviously, but I could twist it into a different way. And that's how I figure out how to get through my fight scenes and how to stitch together these different characters and these different worlds, because I've watched enough of it that I can understand how it works. But I would never, you know, you say that you act yours out. I would probably end up hurting myself irreparably. I would go to do some of the stuff that my characters do, and I'd be like, yep, I just broke my wrist, or I tripped and stumbled and there goes my leg.
Well, no, we don't want that. We'll work on that. You and I all get together. We'll work on that. That's no problem that we can do. But I think anime is a great – I think movies in general, anytime you can visualize what you're doing, I think it's helpful because you can see different points of view, especially with anime, because it moves the way it does. Anime shows you all those different points of view in the fight scene, which I think is really helpful because you get to see it from the attacker's point of view and who's being attacked, whereas – movies don't always show it. They usually just show one point of view. And so I think anime is a better idea to watch to get those fight scenes and see exactly what you want to show. And I've always joked that sometimes the superhero movies aren't great for fight scenes because it usually only shows from the superhero's point of view. And sometimes you only get a close-up of like a fist hitting a stomach or a cape. And you're just like, okay, I totally missed what the hell just happened. And you're like,
right, like, how did they possibly do that?
Yeah. And, you know, I've had people say, oh, The Dark Knight has the best fight scenes. I'm like, no, it doesn't. If you look
at
it.
But they are awesome to watch. They are amazing to watch.
Oh, they're beautiful. I love them. If you're looking at it from a fight scene, like if you just, it's usually just a point, a bunch of ears, and you're looking down. And it's just a cape. And you're like, what the hell did he just do? But I will say, and this is crazy, and people will disagree with me, I didn't love the Flash movie, but those are the best Batman fight scenes that have been done recently. Mm-hmm. Michael Keaton, best Batman fight scenes I've seen. And I know we're wrapping
everybody
up. We only have a minute left.
Yeah, I was going to say, as everybody
we'll
can know, this is going to be with the yes, this is going to have to be, you know, what you get used to with a novel beginning. We go on tangents. We explain how we get to how we have gotten to where we are and all the stumbling and mistakes that we have made along the way, which is super exciting for all of you because you didn't have to suffer like we did. But if you enjoyed us, make sure to come back on October 23rd. We're taking a week off at the same time, same place. And you can follow me and Danny at Wonder Twins Event, no S, or on our personal socials at author C.R. Rice and at Birth of the Fae _novel. You got any last things,
Danny? Come
back,
check us out. That's it. Come back, check us out, and we'll have a good time.
Awesome. Until next week, guys.